103.2 Dublin City FM for the best in all sports coverage, analysis, interviews and reports.
GAA Sports Desk on Dublin City FM.
With Mick Hanley, Suzanne Parker and Peter Brennigan.
In association with Tipperary Natural Mineral Water. Start by thanking John and the Live Drive team for taking you home safely this evening, and they will be back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Now, we've got a busy show this evening. We're going to be speaking to Conor McKeown as he looks back on Vincent's victory over Portlaoise in the Leinster Club Football Championship, and Noelle Healy, who picked up her first TG Cahir All-Star Award, was going to be talking to us about her season. Ron McLaughlin, journalist for the Herald, is going to be giving us his views on the Herald Dublin Bus Hurling Dubs All-Star nominations, which were announced during the week, and Brendan Cooper, the Vice Chairman of Dublin Camogie, is going to be talking to us about the Dublin Minor Camogie Championships, which started last weekend. And remember, we love to hear from you here on GAA Sports Desk, so make sure you contact us, GAA Sports Desk at dublincityfm.ie, 0879771032, or you can check us out on our Facebook page, which is GAA Sports Desk on Dublin City FM. But it is in Kingspan Stadium that we start in Belfast on Saturday. Dublin are taking on an Ulster All-Stars selection, and earlier on this evening, Mick caught up with their manager, Jim Gavin, to look ahead to the day.
Well, Jim, the Dublin footballers get an early opportunity, I suppose, to get the cobwebs off this coming Saturday evening, when you take on the Ulster All-Star selection team up in Belfast in Ravenshill, which originally was a GAA ground, but of course it's all in aid of Anthony Finnegan, who was diagnosed with motor neuron disease. It's a game I'm sure you're looking forward to, though.
Yeah, we are, Mick. Anto would have played for Antrim back in the 90s, something similar to myself. He's only 41. He would have played for, I think, probably 10 seasons thereabouts, and would have captained them in 1990 to the Ireland B Championship, which is a fair achievement for that county. So, he's been a great servant of Gaelic games and Gaelic football down through the years, contacting me earlier on this season about the game and through the county board, Chief Executive Officer John Costello. So, when John said it to me, we were, and I mentioned to players, they jumped at the opportunity to take part in the game, as is so typical displayed within the GAA, that support for one of its members. So we're just delighted to go up and make a small contribution to Anto's charity and to his desire and his ambition to raise funds for motor neuron disease, the association and the research and for patient care of people with motor neuron disease.
And of course, Jim, as you mentioned there, the GAA family is very good at doing that. You know, we all look at winning All-Irelands and championships, and it's training regularly, and players are professional in the way they go. But when, like, someone is in a situation like this, GAA people are normally very, very good to come to the fore.
They are indeed, yeah. I know, particularly what Anto has. He's got, you know, motor neuron disease is terminal. He was diagnosed back in, he was telling me, I think it was back in 2013, like, it's not that long ago, and, you know, possibly another 2 years of life left. It's quite harrowing, and he's got a young family and a young wife, and to see how courageous he is just inspirational, and some people might just lie in the corner and just accept fate, but he wants to make a positive impact with the time that he's left. Ulster Rugby have made a fantastic gesture. We were up there a few weeks ago and met Shane Logan, the chief executive of Ulster Rugby. There's obviously a strong relationship now between the Gaelic League Association and Rugby. And, you know, we've had the RFU playing there, some of their games in Croke Park. And to see Ulster Rugby opening up, I still kind of Ravenhill, I think they call it Kingspan Park up there now. But for us to go up there and play in such an iconic rugby ground on the island, Kingspan Park is closed for as we know, for that rejuvenation project there. So it's a unique stadium for the game, and we're obviously playing the Ulster, and the Ulster team is the Irish News Ulster All-Stars of 2014, so they're going to have a very, very strong team, managed by Brian McAniffin, So that's going to be a fantastic game as well. So, you know, we hope that people will take the time to travel north, you know, from Dublin Airport. It's not that far away. Motorway is excellent. I was up there, as I said, a couple of weeks ago. And it will be great to see. I know that the Antrim and Belfast crowd will turn out. So it's good to see a couple of Dublin flags in the crowd and supporting the guys.
I'm sure they will, Jim. I suppose the disappointment of the All-Ireland defeat, semi-final defeat, has worn off at this stage, and you're looking to the year ahead, and I suppose this game like this gives an opportunity maybe for you to look at new faces too.
It does indeed. You know, we've been having a very close eye on the championship in all grades, and we've been having a look at the recent league games, and then the qualifiers gives another opportunity to have a look at more players. So certainly, you know, if you give us an opportunity to introduce one or two players into the squad and to get them familiar with how we do our business, and work towards you know, getting them ready for the pre-season tournament in January. We can't go back to collective training until the 8th of December, and regardless of the restrictions that Croke Park imposed on the Dublin team and any other county team, we wouldn't have been going back until around that time anyway. Most players only finished the last 2 weeks of their club commitments, which are vital. Some clubs, as we know, we've got the Division 1 final on this Friday. Moors against the Fiends is going to be a cracking game, and also there's some other games to be played as well in other divisions. So 21 Championship is still ongoing. You've got Circus and Trench Cup guys are playing football, freshers are playing football, so some players can take a break and some players can't, and it's up to my job, I suppose, to manage that, and we wouldn't be going back anyway collectively till mid-December. So yeah, this will give an opportunity for some players. We had to get a special dispensation from Paul Griffin Croke Park, and he's been very kind to Anthony's organisation and to his trust to give the Dublin football team the dispensation for the couple of hours to play the game, and then the players will go back and they'll rest again. So yeah, it's going to be a good occasion, and as you say, we'll have some of the experienced squad will play, and hopefully the supporters will see some of the newer players introduced and giving them a chance to put on the county jersey.
Looking at some of the Dublin players from the championship gone by, Jim, of course, some of the lads honoured with All-Star and All-Stars, and fantastic for Paul Flynn to have four in a row and create a record.
Yeah, it's an incredible team for Paul and for Dermot and for James to get those awards. You know, it is a team sport, and it is all about the collective. But moments like that in their careers kind of just acknowledge the hard work, the dedication, and application that they give to the sport. And you know, for Dermot to finally receive his All-Star is great for him, similarly for James, and but for Paul to get four in a row is, you know, I don't think anybody within the Dublin camp would be surprised at that, to see the level of commitment that Paul puts into his game, the dedication and the passion he has for putting on a county jersey. So long that may continue with him.
And Dermot, of course, continuing on his very good form into his club form as well with St Vincent's.
Yeah, he has. Like, Dermot for us would have been, you know, say in 2013 season would have been, you know, a big player for us, and you know, it would have been surprised that he didn't get an All-Star. Don't pay too much attention to it, but you know, he certainly has carried a great vein of form over the last 24 months, and you know, every time he takes the pitch, you know, his level of excellence is really up there. He's obviously been closely marked now, but with the Vincent setup, that gives some other players the opportunity to maximise the space that he leaves, and you know, they're playing great, very good football. Big challenge in there against Scarry Castle the next day, but they've got a very comfortable system, and they're playing a very I suppose traditional Dublin football, and that's great to see, and it's great for the county of Dublin to have a team with the calibre of St Vincent's representing the county and playing such outstanding football.
And talking about the calibre of football, Jim, your own philosophy in football is to play football, to play attacking football as well. I suppose looking back to the Donegal game, it unraveled a little bit or whatever. Is that something that you have to perhaps look at for next year, or are you still sticking with your philosophy?
you know, I think in every game that we've, you know, there's a certain core philosophy that, that certainly I won't change, and I will certainly have a view that you know, the baton has passed on to me for a while, and I hold on to that for that flame for Dublin football for a couple of years, and it's passed on to somebody else. So it's a transient thing in management, and it's, you know, it's a great privilege to manage a county team, but with that comes that responsibility to play football through a particular optic and through a particular philosophy that I believe that's the way Dublin play, and that's been, you know, I've got that from people who would have coached me. Certainly the game plan that we had in the first quarter of the game was working, with some, I suppose we call them system failures. Some things didn't work thereafter, and you know, I think Donegal got the goals at the right time for them, you know, just before the halftime break and straight away afterwards, and that can be quite tough for a team to take. But you know, we created lots of opportunities still within the game, over 35 in the game, and just didn't take them, and that's sport. But you know, I would acknowledge at the same time, you know, it is my responsibility to get the team to be the best they can be. And on the day, we didn't play our best football when it was required. You know, and you know, we've talked to some of the players already, and when we get back in collective training, we'll break that down even further. But you know, as you said earlier on, that sense of self-pity and self-indulgence, we've had that for a few weeks after the game. But you know, this experience, you know, we'll learn from it, and the team will grow from it, and we will come back a stronger team.
It's a new dawn, as they say. Jimmy, you mentioned there all the games you were at, and you know, you're getting ready, probably planning the programs ahead and all that. Do you get a break at all for the manager and the management team, because it seems to be constant?
Yeah, you know, we I don't think you kind of do. I think that the game is always revolving around your head. Obviously, I mean, I've commitments to, I have a professional career, so I've commitments to that. But you know, each day you're probably talking to somebody on the phone, or meeting somebody for a cup of tea to talk about how the team can improve, and what players are out there. And it's been probably the focus for the last number of weeks has been talking about players and what players could contribute to Dublin. At the same time, you know, the plan has already been set for the campaign for next year, and no more so than last year or any of the years I've been involved with the county teams managing them. You know, we quickly move on, regardless of whether we win or lose, and set out our strategic plan for the year ahead, and that's been set in stone now for a number of weeks. So you're always thinking about the game and trying to get that little edge for the team for next year, and we're all volunteers, and we're passionate about the sport, and you know, we wouldn't have it any other way.
Indeed, Jim. And Jim, of course, great to be all fit and healthy and all too, but also great to help out someone like Anto, who, as you said, unfortunately has this terrible disease, and of course there's many other people out there suffering from illness and disease at the moment too, that perhaps aren't able to be in training or able to do the things that they want to do. So hopefully everything goes well on Saturday night. Hopefully there's a lot of dubs. The travel, I think tickets are 10 euro and 5 euro for a child as well, and there's special bookings as well.
Yeah, their tickets can be get from ticketmaster.ie. The tickets range, I think, make from £10 sterling to £5 for a child. So and I suppose the important point to make for anybody who's going to make the effort, and certainly I'd really appreciate it, and so would the team, and obviously our GAA friends up in Belfast would really appreciate it, to see some Dublin jerseys and flags and scarves in the crowd on Saturday night. I think the weather's going to be okay for it, but the important point to make is that it's tickets needs to be pre-booked before the event. I'm not sure if they're going to be sale up there, so I certainly would encourage anybody to get onto ticketmaster.ie. The stadium itself, it's been up there, it's a smaller pitch, and that's going to be a challenge for the players, but you should make it more interesting. But it's a very a new stadium in terms of it's been refurbished recently. It's all cedar, so it's going to be a cracking occasion, and we're really looking forward to it, and as I said, really hoping that Dublin give us some support up there.
Well, Jim, we look forward to that. Congratulations on travelling up as well and helping out. And hopefully it's a big day. And we look forward to the future and to 2015 as well, would you?
Cheers, mate. Good to talk again and continued success.
And our thanks to Jim Gavin. Now, in Camogie, the minor championship has kicked off and I spoke earlier with Brendan Cooper. Coming towards the end of the year, but there's still some games left to be played. The minor championship is happening.
That's right, Suzanne. It's been a long season now. It started in February of this year and we're now into November. And it'll be December before we actually kind of wrap things up once and for all. But still a big competition, as you already pointed out. The minor is in full swing and with the first round of matches taking place there last Sunday morning, Suzanne.
Well, maybe we'll first look at the minor A's. I think St. Oliver Plunkett's Own Rule were up against St. Vincent's.
That's right. Scoreline over Plunkstone Road, 4 points. Vincent's 1-6. 5 point victory for Vincent's, although I believe it wasn't as straightforward as the scoreline might suggest. Mm. I think Oliver Plunk is just one of those days when they hadn't got their scoring boots on, Suzanne, and maybe on a different day it might have been a bit closer, perhaps even a win for Oliver Plunkett's. But still, in all, Vincent's are, you know, they'll always be to the fore in this type of competition. So, you know, a 1-6 to 4 point victory, it's a good start for Vincent's.
Exactly. And Lucan had a great victory over Jude's. I think that was 3-7 to 5 points.
That's right. Again, the scoreline is probably slightly flattering to Lucan Sarsfields. I know this was a very good game, and by all accounts, these two will probably be meeting each other somewhere towards the end of this particular competition, because two very, very good teams indeed. Oliver played Lucan Sarsfields, got the scores that matters, i.e. the goals, and that was probably the difference, but there wasn't as much between these two sides as the scorelines would suggest. Mm. And the opponents that were at the match suggest that they will be meeting each other at least one more time before the season is out.
Yeah. And then the minor B games that were on, Jude's and Fawn Celtic.
That's right. Well, Jude's not two, Fogg's Celtic is 2-22. A resounding victory for Fogg's, although you must bear in mind that this is Jude's second team.
Yeah.
Obviously, their first team is in the minor A section, and it would be Fogg's first team. So, you know, Jude's obviously were in a good position that they were able to field two teams last Sunday morning, which meant that they were using upwards of 40 players, which is established for Jude's, because they've been doing very well at juvenile level now this year. And as I say, it's just kind of a second division side versus a kind of a fourth division side, and the scoreline would suggest that the division one side kind of, or the better side, won out on the day. Good scoreline, and Fogg's will do well in the big competition.
Yeah, and then in the minor C, there was only one game played in that, at Crokes and Commercials.
That's right. This was a resounding victory for Crokes, 6-9 to 1-0. Again, Crokes would have a tradition behind them, and they're a large club, obviously one of the biggest clubs in Dublin, if not further afield, up against Commercials, who are relatively new in terms of Camogie. They've only recently started the last couple of years, so to have an adult team, which this one is, it's great that they're able to field in a competition like this, and it's all about experience, and they'll gain a lot from this particular competition. Although it wasn't the score that they would have wanted, it's a good learning process for Commercials, and I'm quite sure Commercials will improve as a result, if not this year, then certainly into next year and further afield.
Yeah, and Brendan, there was a few games push off this year on Sunday because of weather. Is this a really big problem at this time of year?
Well, I suppose we've been very, very lucky up to now, Suzanne. I can't recall any matches being kind of going by the wayside because of the weather scenario. I suppose in the first week of November, it was only, you know, a matter of time before we got rained off, and we had torrential rain on the Saturday. The Sunday itself was actually quite good, but the damage was done on Saturday afternoon, unfortunately. And a number of games, as you already point out, in the minor being a Fianna versus Good Counsel, that was called off. Neither pitch was available on that particular one. Again, the Fianna, they were playing at home on both occasions. So, again, their game against Raheny in the season championship, that also went by the board, as did Nave Olaf and Kula. And the other match that went by the board was Castleknock versus Lucan Sarsfields. Unfortunately, there was a death from the Flood family in Castleknock, and that was called off as a mark of respect. So we'll pass on our condolences to the Flood family, and hope to see Castleknock back in operation in the very near future.
Yeah. And looking at the games coming up now on this Sunday, Vincent's are up against Jude's.
Yeah, this is going to be a cracker. Again, Vincent's got a good start last weekend by winning, and Jude's obviously are looking to get 2 points on the board, having had a loss against against Lucas Sarsfield. This is going to be a close match. I'd actually give the vote of confidence there to Jude's on this particular occasion. They're actually quite a strong outfit. Vincent's will always be there thereabouts, but I'll give a nod to Jude's on this particular occasion.
Okay, and the second game there in the minor A's, it's Lucan and St Oliver Plunkett's.
That's right. Again, well, Lucan would fancy their chance. They've probably won this competition 2 out of the last 3 years, if memory serves me correctly, against Oliver Plunkett, who haven't competed at minor A for the last number of years, but great to see them back up there in the A competition. I think possibly Lucan might be a little bit too strong for Oliver Plunkett on Sunday, but again, time will tell. But so I reckon Jules in the first match and Lucan in the second match, and that's the way I see it going this coming Sunday, Sudan.
Yeah, and in the minor B, it's Whitehall against Nafina. Now, neither game's had a game last Sunday, so this is the first game in the minor championship for
that's
both teams.
Right. That's right, Suzanne. Obviously, Nafina, as mentioned beforehand, was rained off, and Whitehall had a bye. So both teams will have the first match, first outing this Sunday. A local derby, they're only separated by a couple of miles, in Whitehall and Glasnevin. Again, two very young teams now at this stage, and my own team, Nafina, I would be familiar with. We have a lot of very promising young girls there, but so too do Whitehall, and they've done very well now in the senior competition, and that senior adult competition was made up primarily of the younger age girls, and they'll all be available to Whitehall this weekend. So I'd imagine that Whitehall might just about shade it on this particular occasion, Suzanne.
Yeah. And then in Group 2, Fáin Celtics and Naoimh Murnaghan. Now, Fáin had a great game last Sunday, and Naoimh Murnaghan were not in action at all. Will this stand
right,
in their favour?
That's right, yeah. Again, like everything else, a little bit of match practice on from Fáin Celtics' point of view. And, you know, they had a resounding victory there last weekend, so that'll stand them in good stead coming into their game against Murnaghan. Murnaghan probably wouldn't have a strong minor team. They don't actually have an under 16 team in the juvenile level, so they're probably drawing a lot of their players from the under 15 grade. And I think, you know, playing two, three years above their own age group might be a little bit of a hindrance on this particular occasion. And Fogs would have a lot of very good juveniles and would have a lot of inter-county players on their panel. So again, I think Fogs might continue the trend set there last week when they had a resounding victory. So Fogs on this occasion against Murnaghan, says to them.
Yeah, and then in Group 3, it's Naoimh Breed and Vincent's.
Yeah, this will be a close one. Again, this is Vincent's second team now at this stage, and I'm not sure. I think Naoimh Breed, again, new to this particular competition. Vincent's obviously will have the tradition behind them. And I think going off to Naoimh Breed, and they'll probably be playing on the all weather, I'd imagine, this coming Sunday, that would be a little bit of a help to Naoimh Breed, but whether it's enough help to beat Vincent's, I'm not quite so sure. So I'll go with a Vincent's victory this Sunday to them.
And then in the minor C, there are four games that are expected to be played this weekend. Rahini and Castleknock is one, anyway.
That's right, yeah. Again, Rahini, a little bit of an unknown quantity. They haven't done so well from their adult side this year, so they'd probably be drawing their players from the under-15s or thereabouts against Castleknock, who've done reasonably well over the last couple of years. Has to be Castleknock on this occasion there, Suzanne. And then the next one up in that particular section, Lucan versus Nafina.
Yeah.
Again, Lucan will have a huge amount of players to choose from over there. They've been doing rather well in the juvenile sections there over the last number of years, and their adult teams are all doing very well. They've four adult teams, if memory serves it correctly. So they'll have a huge amount of players to choose from. And I'd say Lucan against Nafina will probably go with the home side and go with a Lucan victory to them.
And then in Group 2, Commercials and Naoimh Olaf.
Yeah, Commercials again. Mentioned before that these are very, very new to the competition. This is their first adult team, or the first kind of elder juvenile team. We're never sure whether it's called minors, adult or juveniles. It's depending on who you ask, but let's say for all intents and purposes we're calling them adults now at this stage. So it is their first adult team, and Naoimh Olaf would have a good enough tradition behind them, and may give me out there some wonders out for in Sandy's court area there of late, and I'll go with the Naoimh Olaf victory against Commercials.
And then the last match, it's Kilmacud Crokes and Coola. Kilmacud had a very strong game against Commercials, so would they be looking like the favourites going into this?
Yeah, you'd imagine so, but I have a sneaky suspicion that I know Coola have a number of under 16 county players which they can call upon, and I know last week or the week before Coola were playing in a senior 7 Shield final and they did rather well. I have a sneaky suspicion that those players might be available again this weekend at minor level, and although Croke had a redounding victory there last week, I'm going to go with the home side this occasion, Suzanne, and say a cooler victory by Kilmacud.
Okay.
We'll see how right I am now next week.
We will. Brendan, thank you very much for joining me on the programme.
My pleasure as always, Suzanne. Take care. Bye.
Talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Suzanne.
And our thanks to Brendan Cooper. The Ladies Football All-Star Awards was on Saturday night, and Dublin was lucky enough to get 4 All-Stars, and I was delighted to be joined earlier by Noel Healy. Firstly, I just want to congratulate you for your All-Star and ask you, how did you celebrate on Saturday night?
Thanks very much. There was a party on kind of afterwards. There was a band and stuff. So we just celebrated with the girls that were there. There was 11 of us nominated from the Dublin team.
Mm.
So there was a big crowd of us there, so it was nice to see everybody again. And then it was great to talk to the other girls from the different teams and stuff. It's funny to be playing against them all year and planning how to defeat them and then having a few jinx with them at the end of the year. It's lovely. It's a nice finish.
But that's a great thing about GAA and about it's a community. And when the game is over, everyone can sit down and socialise together at an award ceremony like this and respect each other as players.
Yeah, absolutely. That was the main thing that I kind of noticed from the night, that everybody just had a huge amount of respect for each other. Like I was talking to one or two of the girls from the Cork team and the Galway team that I would have marked during the year, and you know, we were just it was all friendly, but like it was nice, you know, just showing that there was no animosity there or anything.
Exactly.
It was just pure respect for each other, and you know, we're obviously, you know, we work hard throughout the year and everybody gives the same, so there's always that mutual level of respect.
Yeah. And this, you were nominated twice before for an All-Star, and this was your year. Did you expect it?
Well, no, it's hard to know, you know, like, because I've been nominated, twice before, as you say, and you just never really know whether it's going to be your night on the night, you know.
Mm.
I think even this year there was a few players who, from different counties like you, were sure would have gotten it, definitely because of their performances during the year, and for some reason or other, you know, just this year they didn't get the nod. So you never can really tell, but I was delighted anyway when I got heard my name called out.
Well, there was 11 nominations for Dublin, and I think Cork, the All-Ireland winning team, only got 10. Does this show the incredible level of football that the Dublin ladies have?
Yeah, I think 11 is the most that Dublin have ever had nominated, and it just shows the like huge depth of talent that's in the squad. You know, I think nearly all of the backs and all of the forwards were nominated, and it just kind of shows how consistent everybody was throughout the year.
Yeah.
And you know that there is a like ridiculous amount of talent coming through the team and coming up from the years. Like, you know, so it is. It definitely shows just the strength that's in the Dublin all the way throughout the line. You know, there's not just a full forward or a full back that we rely on. You know, the talent is all throughout the team.
Yeah. And as well as yourself, there was 3 other All-Stars on the night. I think Sinead Ahern and Sinead Goldrick were 2 of them.
Yeah, and Lindsay Davey. Yeah, and I think, you know, they're absolutely definitely deserving. You know, Goldie, our captain, was brilliant, you know, really inspiring always throughout the year. She had a pretty bad injury in the middle of the year and came back, and in her first game back with the Leinster final, she scored 3 points in about 10 minutes. So, you know, she's a hugely inspiring player. And then Lindsay Davey and Sinead Ahern were just phenomenal throughout the year. I think Sinead Ahern scored something like 5 goals and 40 points. So, definitely deserving.
Absolutely incredible. And the 7 other players that were also nominated and were not named as All-Stars on the night, it must be tough for them, but at the same time, getting a nomination is almost an odd, you know, acknowledging their work and their effort all year.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as I saw something on the internet today, that there was 45 players nominated out of nearly 11,000 people that play the sport. So, you know, that is a huge honour to get. And a lot of the girls that have been nominated had gotten All-Stars before, and then there's young girls like Leah Caffrey and Carla Rowe,
yeah,
who it's, you know, maybe their first year starting and are getting a nomination for an All-Star, so that just kind of shows what talent they have and, you know, the maturity that they have to come into their position and be able to establish themselves as one of the best players in that position in the country.
Yeah, and it shows the level of Greg McGonigal has been your manager and also managed the under-21 team, and the work and time that he's put in, that these 11 people have been acknowledged on a national scale.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, I think Greg probably ate, slept and breathed Dublin football this year. You know, we'd get messages from it all hours of the night and throughout the day with different things that he wanted to do. You know, he put a huge amount of effort into it, and I think it's definitely a reflection of that.
Yeah,
the number of us that got nominated.
And it was a great year for Dublin ladies football, and coming to an end with the championship game against Cork, where you had a tough defeat in the second half. How are you feeling coming out of that game?
I think I was probably a bit numb. Like I haven't been able to watch the match back yet.
Mm.
And it was, you know, it's probably one of the most fast paced and intense matches I've been involved with. And maybe just the atmosphere of Croke Park kind of added to that.
Yeah.
I can't really remember much of it, but you know, for the week or two afterwards, and even still, it does leave a bit of a sick feeling in your stomach. At the night on Saturday, they showed clips from it. It was kind of hard to watch, but. Mm. You know, I suppose we'll just have to bank it and, you know, use it for next year just to drive us on and hopefully, you know,
exactly.
Get us over the line the next year.
Yeah. And personally, Noel, what were the high points of the year for you?
It's hard to pick one. We had a meeting the week before our final, and I think, you know, just about the year and our preparations for the final, and the one message that kind of came out is just how much everybody enjoyed the year. Like, it was strange because there's probably, you know, a big gap between, there's a lot of young players and there's a few more senior players, and you'd think that there might be some difficulties there, but everybody got on so well.
Mm.
But I suppose, you know, we'd lost in the quarterfinal for the past 3 years, and then this year we were finally able to get over that, so I think that was kind of, that's probably my one highlight.
Yeah. And a low point for you for the year? Probably a bad question to even ask.
Yeah, probably the last 10 minutes of the Ireland final.
Yeah, and looking forward and looking more optimistic and everything, what is for you next year?
Just hopefully more of the same again, you know, hopefully the same level of intensity that we had last year and the same focus that we all had, and, you know, the same performances consistently throughout all the players, and, you know, it's always going to be a little bit of luck that will get you over the line, so... You know, I'm just kind of hoping that the teams, you know, we stick together and stick with the same focus for next year, and finally maybe take Brendan Martin off Cork.
Well, hopefully. And Noel, congratulations on your All-Star, and I wish you the very best of luck with next year.
Thanks very much. Lovely chatting to you.
Bye. And our thanks again to Noel, and congratulations on the All-Star Award. Now, we are going to take a short break, but stay with us. We have a lot more GAA action to come.
103.2 Dublin City FM, real radio for Dublin.
And welcome back to GA Sports Desk on Dublin City FM. Remember, you can contact us on 087-977-1032. You can email us gasportsdesk@dublincityfm.ie, or you can check us out on our Facebook page, which is GA Sports Desk on Dublin City FM. Now, St. Vincent's qualified for the semi-final of the Leinster Club Football Championship at the weekend with a victory over Portlaoise. We're going to be hearing from Conor McKeown in a couple of minutes, but first, Mick Hanley caught up with manager Tommy Conroy this evening.
Yeah, thanks, Mick. No, it was always going to be a tricky one getting Portlaoise in the first round, and we had a great start against them, and then sort of let them back into the game. And I think we went in at half time a point up, and I think again we got an early goal. Shane Carty got an early goal, which settled us. But no, I just think it's great now. A bit of relief that we were able to go down to Portlaoise after the county final and win a performance and come home, and look forward to playing Gary Castle now in Bell Park.
Indeed, Tommy. And again, Tommy, coming to the fore is the fact you were able to put out that 15 players. You had, you know, the lads to come in as well, and everyone seems to know their roles. I think Zach Toohey said after the game that he thought Vincent's was the nearest thing to a club professional team.
I wouldn't say that, but I know. You know, I think what I said is, you know, we're a year on, and the guys have a very, very good understanding amongst themselves, and they've looked. There's older guys that have been there, you know, very experienced players that have been there before and done it. You know, Jer Brennan, Tomás Quinn, Dermot Connolly. You know, there's a lot of experience there, and Michael Savage in goal, and there's even fellas then that. You know, Mark Loftus and other guys that are in the background, Kevin Malone, that are very, very influential and probably don't get the recognition from people. But, you know, the group as a whole, it's all about, you know, what can people do in the background and what can they do to help the whole group be successful.
Indeed, and again, Shane Carty coming up the goods this time.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Shane works very hard. You know, not only on the game day, but also in practice. And you know, it was great. It was great to see him bag two goals. As I said, he works very hard, and we were delighted for him, you know.
And now one of the other unsung heroes, and he's been playing out of his skin for a number of years, is Hugh Gill. And he was named as the AIG Herald Award for this week as well, Tommy. So Hugh is playing exceptional football.
Yeah, he's in a good spell now. He's in a good place, and his form has been very good. And again, a guy that, you know, will be very, very diligent and very dedicated in what he's doing. And I think he's getting... It's showing in his performances now, Mick, you know.
Gary Cassidy, as you mentioned there, coming to Parnell Park, but good for yourselves to be on home soil again.
Well, it's nice to be, I'd be honest, it's nice to be over in Parnell Park, but look, it doesn't matter really where the game's played. Gary Castle, I mean, they have a good pedigree in this competition. I think they knocked Bridget's out a couple of years ago, and, you know, they've some very good players in their team, Mick.
You'll be preparing well, as they say. Hopefully, you'll have the same 15 to get out again.
Well, look, to be seen what can happen between now and the game. But look, it's just great. Everybody's fitting well and looking forward to the game.
And Tommy, I suppose one of the other comments that was made is that the freshness that there's in the squad after coming, you know, such a long, long way with a Dublin Championship the year before, an All-Ireland Club Championship last year, Dublin Championship again, that the team, you know, they just want to go out and play and want to go out and win.
Yeah, well, I suppose, Mick, it makes it a bit easier when things are going well and you're being successful and you're getting wins that... and the games then, it's funny that the quicker games come around, the better. Now, I don't mean within a week, but like 2 weeks, it's just a matter of the game and you get probably a recovery session in, then you do a light session. So it's good for the guys, you know what I mean? They don't have time to think and they're just getting on with it.
Well, you've got a match Sunday week anyway, so we look forward to that.
Yeah, please God, yeah.
And our thanks to Tommy Conroy for speaking to us earlier on this evening. Now, looking, staying with that game between Vincent's and Port Leash, I also spoke this evening with Herald journalist Conor McKeown.
Well, Conor, St. Vincent's progress in the Leinster Club Football Championship there on Sunday against Port Leash, and a 10-point victory, 3 goals and a point in the difference. This was a very impressive display from St. Vincent's.
Yeah, I think it's as good, if not better than anything they produced last year when they went all the way and won the All-Ireland. It was just a really, really good performance, you know. There was probably a sense going into it that, you know, this is the big one for a couple of reasons. Anytime you talk to a team that have gone through, in fact, the Leinster Club campaign, they'll always tell you that the first one after winning your county is the most difficult because, you could be going away from home, which Vincent's were, which isn't something you'd experience at the back end of your county championship. And you have to be allowed to kind of celebrate a county title for what it is, particularly, you know, the Dublin Senior Football Championship, which takes an awful lot to win. And, you know, Vincent's, despite their strength over the last few years, haven't won it too often in the last 30 years. So you have to go through that. And then the other thing is that, look, Port Leash were probably, if you look at all the other county champions throughout Leinster, if you were doing a ranking, they would have been either one or two, depending on how highly you rated Vincent's. You know, the fact that they've done 8 in a row made them hugely dangerous, means that they've done this 7 times before. They've only won one Leinster title, and in that run, so you know, you kind of thought that they had all the bits and pieces to go on and take Simpsons out. Well, certainly they were in the best position of any of the rest of them. So from all those, you know, perspectives, it was a very, very difficult game for Simpsons. But against that, like, unlike last year when they'd only, you know, a week to turn around after they won the Dublin Championship, and they only had 2 points to spare over St. Normans, they had 2 weeks this year, which was massive. You know, they could take a week to kind of celebrate and recover and recalibrate their ambitions, and you know, they really hit the ground running. Like, there's no two ways about it. They made it look quite easy at times last Sunday. Now, they made it look quite hard other times as well.
Yeah.
But when they find the range, they're a very, they can be a magnificent team, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, they kind of burst out of the blocks. They had a goal and two when Tomás Quinn got his goal in the first half, but then they could have had 3 or 4 goals, but then Port Leash came back and were only a point down at half time.
Yeah, they should have had. Well, they had four good goal chances, you know, and people talk about goal chances. These were excellent ones. Now, one of them, I felt very sorry for Rory Traynor. He was pulled down. He probably should have had a penalty. But it was almost a carbon copy of last year's Leinster final when they beat Portlaoise by 3 points. They came out and they just exploded. And when they do that, they just make it look so easy. And it's because there's so much pace in their team, and there's so many fellas that are so comfortable handling the ball. So, you know, they tend to go past people and take men out of it. Then, you know, you're kind of wondering what's going on with the marking of the opposition. Why is a man being left so open, so close to goal? But I suppose the reason is they went man-to-man, and, you know, if you go man-to-man and somebody beats one of your players further out the field, then everybody's pushing up to make up the man who's been beaten, and you get these goal chances. But, you know, Vince has only took one and yet still won by 10 points, which is an incredible sort of sign of kind of how good they are. And, you know, Dermot Connolly, who, you know, I think over the span of the season between club and county has been the best footballer in Ireland.
Yeah.
He got a knock early in the first half in the ribs, I think. He went into full forward for a while, didn't really touch the ball for a bit. And in the second half, he got a kick in the ankle and went into full forward as well. So, you know, despite the fact that everything he did was very effective, and in some cases were absolute class, they didn't really need him firing on top form to beat next best team in the province by 10 points away from home.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose we talked way earlier in the season, back when they were around Dublin quarter-final time, about how Tomás Quinn, had got something like 3-1 from play in that quarter-final against Temple Oak, and then Dermot Connolly had scored 1-5 or 1-6 in the semi-final against Ballyboden, and we were kind of looking for other players to step up. But in the Dublin final, I think all six of their forwards scored, and then Shane Carthy got 2-2 from play on Sunday as well. So it's all the players that are really stepping up to the mark.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest evolution in the team that you can make out from last year. I was kind of doing the sums up earlier on in the week, and the percentage that Quinn has contributed to the team has fallen slightly, which is no surprise given just how high it was last year. Connolly's has remained in around the same, although, you know, with somebody like Connolly, it'd be a crime to measure his contribution solely in scoring stats. But the other four, Shane Carthy and Kieran Dorney and Rory Traynor and Gavin Bourke, between the three of them, they're contributing an awful lot more to the thing. And even from the bench as well, Cameron Diamond and Cormac Diamond, they both come on and they both tend to score. And Eamon Fennell is always good for a point. And if you give Michael Concar or Brendan Egan a sniff of it from further out the field, they'll punish it as well. So I think what we're saying is that as a group, they're a bit more mature. They're a year on from last year. And I suppose the biggest thing is that despite winning the All-Ireland last year, they didn't fall back in any way. You know, a lot of teams would see winning All-Ireland as an end game in itself. But they've kind of kicked on again. They've retained the management team. They've retained the same squad. And there's been absolutely no fallback, which for a team winning the club All-Ireland is, you know, it's a massive achievement.
Yeah, and even defensively, I know I'd read a lot from Zach Toohey last week, who he was kind of rumoured to have been flown home, and then it turned out he was home for a christening, but Jer Brennan managed to keep him down to, I think it was only a score on Sunday.
Yeah, no, his point was probably the best point of the game. He sold a couple of delicious dummy solos and put it over the bar, but he actually started in full forward on Jarla Curley, and Jarla Curley was really, really comfortable in his company, and just kind of broke the ball left and right for his cornerbacks. And then when he went out the centre back, I think they tried to get him to run at Brennan, but, you know, they kind of protect Brennan within the system that they play, and, you know, Brennan doesn't really need a whole lot of protecting either, and you know, he got stuck in as only Jared Brennan can. But like at the moment, all the pieces just seem to be fitting. Like, they look to be very much the complete kind of football team, because there's no weak link, you know, there really isn't. If you go through it, like, they might only have, I suppose, but by last year, after Mick Concar came in, they had only three players in the Dublin senior football panel. But, you know, if you were to draw a list of the best 45 or 50 footballers in Dublin, I'd say at least 10 of them be on the Vincent's team.
Yeah, and coming up next to them now is Gary Castle, who defeated Killow Emmanog of Longford, and this, I suppose, was something of a controversial game in that there was a late goal disallowed by referee Fergal Smith, but I suppose Desi Dolan is the talisman for that team, but it's a game that Vincent will go into as favourites.
Massive favourites, and you'd be hugely surprised they're beating this side of Christmas. They've a home tie, that'll be a double header with the Crokes hurlers against the Kilkenny champions in Parnell Park. And look, Gary Castle, you know, they reached the peak about 2 years ago and they didn't just quite get over the line. And, you know, without having seen them and, you know, trying not to be unfair to them, I just don't think they'll have the firepower to deal with Vincent's. You know, like, Desi Dolan's one of these footballers who'd probably be still very good and classy in 10 years' time. but you know, that's just not going to, like, you know, besides that, you look through the team, and I can't imagine that any team in Leinster at this moment in time is going to have enough for Vincent, because, you know, if they don't get complacent, and again, like, that can happen, you know, we wouldn't talk about complacency so much if it wasn't an issue from time to time, but if they don't get complacent, I just can't see them being beaten at home by Gary Cass.
Well, Jim,
our thanks to Conor McKeown for speaking to us earlier on, and that game is going to be taking place in Parnell Park, along with Kilmacka Crokes taking on the Kilkenny champions Clara, taking on Ballyhale Shamrocks this weekend in the Kilkenny Senior Hurling Championship final. So the 23rd of November will be a great day for clubs in Dublin, and I'm not sure the times of the throw-in games, but I believe it's going to be 2 and 4 o'clock, but that hasn't been confirmed by either the Leinster Council or the Dublin Council, so we'll find out in due course. Now, the Herald Dublin Bus All-Star nominations were released earlier this week, and I caught up with Herald journalist Ronan McLaughlin to look at them.
Well, Ronan, the Herald Dubstars nominations for hurling were revealed this week, and I suppose Kilmacka Crokes, as county champions, naturally lead the way.
They do, and deservedly so. I suppose it's some fine recognition that they've come through the Dublin campaign unbeaten. They looked impressive enough in their group stages, and once the knockout, the quarterfinals began there back in autumn, they looked like the team most likely to go on and win it. And you know, after beating Ballyboden well in the group stages, they beat them again in the semi-final, and then they went on and they beat Jude's in the final, and they had to basically grab that one out of the bag, because they looked like in serious trouble with about 10 minutes to go. But they showed their character, and they're a very, very talented team, and I think that's reflected in the nominations that were announced yesterday.
And the Dubstars games, I suppose, is always a game that marks the start of the season, and I suppose for Dublin Hurling it's an important season because new management involved, so it'll be a chance for maybe for players to put a very early season marker down for a place in a larger panel.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's relevant every year, really. It's an opportunity to get out and start fresh and have a look at new lads and stuff, and I doubt Jared Cunningham will be any different. I'd say he's familiar enough with what's out there, but no harm having a look, getting a look at his own Dublin panel, and then also I'd imagine a fair few of his players will be represented on the Dubstars team as well. The great L Day, the Hurling and the football have won after the other, and we're looking forward to another good year this year. But as you said, it's important that Jared Cunningham gets as much time as possible to have a look at the players, and I think Dubstars is an ideal opportunity to do that.
And how important, I suppose, is it this year, in your opinion, in order to get new players into that Dublin Hurling panel? Because I suppose there's been a suggestion at the end of the last campaign, after our quarter-final defeat, that maybe the Dublin team has grown slightly stale in terms of bringing new players in.
I think so. I mean, my own view on it, and as I say, it's merely my own view, is that I think given the rolling contract that was given to Anthony Daly, that it was unlikely that, given push comes to shove, when you had a choice to make between one player, a more seasoned player, and a new player, you would probably, you know, it would be common sense really to go with what you know as opposed to try something new. I suppose his ambition would have been a sort of a short-term one with regards getting success, and obviously he brought us great success as well. But as his tenure went on, especially this year, it didn't lend itself to experimentation and to maybe giving new players an opportunity. I think Colin Cronin was really the only one who made a mark this year that hadn't been around previous years, and that had been well flagged from a long time ago. So I think when the 50-50 calls came, I think he just went back to what he knew, and that's understandable. Now we have a new manager coming in. There hopefully will be a freshness. Hopefully there won't be a huge onus on him to get results immediately, because I think what Dublin does need is to have a look at new players and bring some young players in. I think the talent is there, but they do need to be given time, and I don't think we can expect miracles this year. That's if Jerry allows them the opportunity to do that, because I think what we did see last year was a degree of staleness and familiarity and maybe not enough competition for places, and I think the new manager will certainly shake that up.
And looking back at this Dubstars team, if it was just you picking the 15, are there certain players that you think should definitely be included in that team?
Well, there's still the procedure to go through, and there's still a fair amount of debating to be going on between the selection panel. I think I wouldn't be giving away too many trade secrets to say that Danny Sutcliffe might be there or thereabouts. Rory O'Carroll might be there or thereabouts. Ross O'Carroll might be there or thereabouts. Shawnee McGrath might be there, thereabouts. Rob Hardy. There's a fair few now lads that you'd look at and you'd think they're very, very strong cases. But we're still in the process, haven't done the nominations for the hurling. We're still in the process of doing the nominations for the football. And there is enough, believe it or not, there is enough out of debate. People might suggest otherwise. There is a fair amount of debate and procedure that goes into making sure we have as fair and as equitable and I think as reflective of the championship and also to a degree the league campaigns that we make sure that we try and get it as right as possible. So but yeah, I think the hurling team will be strong this year as it is every year.
Indeed, I think the team is going to be announced in around the second week of December, it usually is. But our thanks for Ron McLaughlin for speaking to us earlier on this evening. Now, earlier on this evening, Mick also caught up with Brian Talty and they looked back at Vincent's victory as well as other football action that's taken place in the city this weekend.
Well, Brian, looking back to last Sunday's Leinster Club Championship clash between St Vincent's and Port Laois, a very good win for the Merino side and from all intents and purposes, it could have been by a bigger scoreline.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that was surprising enough, you know, in the sense that we thought Port Laois would really put it up to them. And I suppose they did for a little part of the game, but, you know, Vincent's could have scored two or three more goals, Mick, in the game. And, you know, they played really well when they got going. And, you know, the strength of the panel was even shown on the night as well, you know. And there was no dependence on, you know, Dear McCondy, even though he played really well. And, you know, there was three or four men going to him every time he went near the ball. And he had a bad belt early on in the game as well. But, you know, you see the likes of Shane Carty coming into it and scoring 2-2. And, you know, even Gavin Burke, the two wing forwards, doing really well. So, and inside as well, you know, Rory Traynor and Mossy doing well, you know. So, very, very strong team, very strong panel. And I suppose they brought on the three Diamond Brothers as well, you know. So three great diamonds to have to bring in there, and certainly, you know, they made a difference as well when they come in, you know. So great performance by Vincent, and well worthy of a good win.
Indeed, and we've noticed throughout the Dublin Championship and now going into Leinster that since it all began, Tommy Conroy's been able to put out the same starting 15, Brian, and we've spoken about this before. I think a lot of people have spoken about it before, but there seems to be a great understanding between the team, and even the lads that come in know their roles when they come into the side.
Yeah, absolutely. I think somebody was saying to me there today that, you know, Zach Toohey, the Irvine Roots player playing with Port Laois, said that they were the nearest thing to a professional team that he had seen, you know. But the amazing thing for me, I suppose, all year is that the freshness that they have in the team is unbelievable. All through the Dublin Championship, often when you win it, Mick, and win in All-Ireland, like, things go a little bit stale, but that didn't happen with Vincent this year. In any of the matches that they played, they were very fresh, and again last Sunday, looked very fresh and very eager.
And of course they'll be playing in a double header in Parnell Park on Sunday week, and I suppose for the team they're up against, it's going to be a difficult one, because no doubt there'll be odds on favourites, but that's something that Tommy Conroy will have to deal with, and he has dealt with it all along by keeping their feet firmly to the ground.
Yeah, absolutely, you know, and I suppose, you know, we're talking about it today, I think there's something like 33 on the panel, you know, so I'm sure there's fellas there fighting really hard to get onto the team and get in there, and that keeps everybody on their toes as well. But, it will be a difficult job for anybody to take Vincent on. I fancy them now in a big way this year again to win Leinster and win in All-Ireland. But anything can happen, Mick. You know, you never know in these conditions as well. You know, we see what the weather is like at the moment, and, you know, you could have to go down the country and pick on some team, and, you know, that's a different challenge again. But they're looking very fresh and very eager, and, you know, they're going to be very hard to beat.
And, of course, they're up against the Westmeath champions, Gary Castle. I'm sure Desi Dolan will be looking to maybe make a mark on that game. But Vincent's looked really too strong.
Well, you'd have to say that now, you know, but as I say, every game is a different challenge, and, you know, every game can be changed with a kick of a ball, or, you know, if Gary Castle come out and got a goal or two or something early on, it can change a lot of things, you know. But certainly on the performance that Gary Castle put on the last day, you'd imagine that, you know, they won by a point, I think, with a goal disallowed by from the Longford champions, you know, with the last kick of the game. So they didn't perform brilliantly, but having said that, again, you just don't know what the challenge is going to be put up to you. But I think Vincent are capable of facing any challenge, and, you know, as I said, you know, they're very eager and they're mad keen to go on and win. So that would be a huge one for Gary Castle to take on. I expect Vincent to win that game well.
We look forward to it. Brian, this coming Friday evening, it's back to the local scene in Dublin, and it's the Division 1 League final. Nafina taking on Naive Moore, and it's been a great year for Moores.
Yeah, massive year for both teams, really, I suppose. More is like, I suppose, at the beginning of the year, people wouldn't have expected them to be in the league final and to be up at the top of that table. You know, they've done a fabulous job out there and, you know, brought up an awful lot of good young fellas, and they're playing really well. So it'll be a tough one for Nafina, but looking at the talent, Nafina have an awful lot of young talent coming through as well, you know, and Paul Caffrey is moulding them nicely there. They have a second team who are in a league final as well, you know, so it just shows you the talent that's there. And they've come through, I suppose, a few under-21 titles in the last few years as well, so a lot of young talent coming through. And, you know, it would be a hard one for Morris, but Morris have taken on the challenge all year. They weren't expected to win the last day either, and they did win it, so it'll be a tough game and it'll be an interesting one.
And our thanks indeed to Brian Talty for speaking to us earlier on this evening. Now, before I go, I just want to remind you that interview we had with Jim Gavin at the start of the show. The game for Antrim was taking place up in Kingspan Stadium, Ravenhill Stadium, up in Belfast, this Saturday at 6 o'clock. Tickets are still available. They're £10 for kids, or sorry, £10 for adults and £5 for kids. So it'll be a great occasion to get up there. And it's a really, really good cause. And hopefully as many Dubs as possible will head up to Belfast and attend the game. Now, that's all we have time for on GAA Sports Desk this evening. But remember, the sport continues on Dublin City FM tomorrow evening. It's the Sporting Choice with Keane O'Callaghan. And make sure to tune into On The Ball on Sunday, as I will be guest presenting while Declan Hughes is on a well-deserved break. And stay tuned to Dublin City FM this evening, as Des Fitzgerald is coming on for Artbeat just after this show. But from everyone on the GAA Sports Desk team, Mick Hanley, Suzanne Parker, Katie Scanlon on sound, and myself, Peter Bradigan, have a great evening.